Alright, today is Wednesday, January 18, 2023. Time now is 5:17. This is a regular board meeting. Two board members are present, Don and myself. Besa is not present. I'll go ahead and call this meeting to order. And we'll start off with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
1717.
Is that what I said?
Yeah, that's right. 1717.
Yeah. That's supposed to be like a good thing. Whatever we can get.
Item 1B, adoption of the agenda. I would like to make a motion to add an action item to approve the intergovernmental agreement between NACO School and the Cochise County Sheriff's Office for the school resource officer.
And Cochise County.
And that's item D?
And Cochise County.
Item D?
We'll add E.
Because then we can table D. We'll table D later.
And I also like to acknowledge that Brisa is not in attendance tonight. She has an emergency or family situation, and that the date is January 18th.
Can I get a second?
Did you make a motion?
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Aye. All right, and moving on to call to the public.
Thank you for allowing me to attend and learn about the Board of Education of the school that I've been working in.
Oh, nice.
Thank you for being here.
You don't have to be invited. Anytime you want.
And it's always good to have two teachers, because like I've been telling some teachers, you get those points for the...
For the 301.
The 301 plan, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also there are times where we'll be talking about something and we can have the teachers chime in, or teacher usually, because we usually only have one, that they can,
if you brought food more often. So,
I did bring food more often, yeah. And I'd just be bigger, more meat of love.
All right, and moving on to the consent agenda, approval of the minutes for the regular board meeting, December 8, 2022. And the organizational meeting that was held on January 10th, 2023.
I have no changes.
All right. B, presentation of the December financial report. And C, approval of the December vouchers.
The voucher sheet, the first one for December 22. Just want to point out on voucher number 2321, the large amount there is I paid the second payment for the busy tuition of $298,973. $298,973. Mm-hmm. And the two payroll vouchers, they're both within dollars, a little over $1,000 on the second one to the first. But they're pretty much in sync with each other.
And you said that was voucher 2321.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Were there any questions on the vouchers themselves?
And we have no surprises or anything.
No.
Fancy.
That's why I pointed the other one out. That one out, because that was so large. There were no other weird things. We haven't been ordering quite as much, so if you take that $300,000 out of there, we've only spent about $41,000 on four vouchers last month. So they kind of are going down a little bit. Mm-hmm. We haven't ordered a lot of stuff. So.
And like the copier services, do we pay those when we only need those services, or do they come in and...
It's a contract.
It's a contract.
And then sometimes if we have something else come up, there'll be a... excess charge, but generally the maintenance and everything is covered. A lot of the times when you see that, it'll be things like toner, or if they start getting spots on them or something like that, and we have to have them come and clean them. But
so we have a contract, but we still have to pay them
if they provide anything extra outside the contract, which is like the toner and all that
So $936 is kind of steep.
Well, that's for a lot of copy overages, and I do believe that one, I can't swear to it, but I believe that one is for the district office.
And isn't that quarterly?
No, it's monthly.
That much?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's going on with that grant that we were going to pay back? Something about that the funds were being used for...
The COPS grant?
Is that the grant that we talked about last time?
Yeah, the COPS grant that we qualified for, we had to have matching funds. So then we had to do research to find out that what could we use for matching funds, and we are able to use the state SFB funds that they spend. So... the cameras for the SFB project have arrived, and we will be putting in for a reimbursement from SFB for that, and then we'll turn around and we'll use that amount to claim for the grant as part of our part of that grant that we're supposed to pay so much in matching, and so we can use the SFB funding for that. So we couldn't use any federal funding. You couldn't use any federal grants, but that you can use state grants and state money for the matching, which means then basically we just don't have to pay for it out of our M&O. Okay. So that it's in the process. There's a lot of things in the, a lot of irons in the fire, and the problem we're having is right now, you know, we got one bid for all of the, only one person would come down to go through and you know, go through everything that we need to fix. And apparently, from hearing from the SFB lady, it sounds like that's going to be good enough because that person works with them a lot and they're generally low bidder. And they come in with pretty reasonable on-the-money pricing. So my whole thing is I want to get the ball moving so that we can, you know, this is when we can do this project. This is how long this project's going to take. We're going to be out of school for this long. I want to have things planned so that spring break and right when we get done in the summer, we can start doing some of those projects. Because we don't want it to go over so that it's going into the fall and then we're having to run four, five, six classrooms in a gym and other things because we have to shut down one wing or another wing to get everything done. So that's really the key. But with the COPS grant, we have three different things right now that are in the runner with SFB, and as everything comes in, then we pay them. Mm-hmm. Once we pay them, then we can put in for reimbursement. Until we pay them, like we got the cameras, but we haven't paid for the cameras, so we can't put in for reimbursement mm-hmm. from SFB, and then we can't count that as part of our match mm-hmm. until we pay it. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a, I don't know, tedious process, I guess. You know, just anytime, especially with federal grants, and when you're working with SFB, there's just a lot of hoops to jump through. Mm-hmm. And so we just don't want to get out ahead of ourselves and then make sure they've approved everything, and then we're stuck paying for it. So we just make sure you go through each hoop one at a time.
Mm-hmm. And that is the one you were talking about.
Okay. And then the findings that were brought up in during the audit.
The findings in the audit, and I believe you guys got a copy of the audit. I don't know if you got a hard copy or just the email copy of it. There are a lot of findings. A lot of them deal with making sure, and it's, again, this goes all the way back to before we hired Kristen King in the office. Mm-hmm. Her first, like, 15 days were the end of that audit. There were a lot of findings where we didn't have the proper documents attached. There were a lot of mistakes that we made. There were plenty of mistakes made by the auditor where we have the stuff sitting right there. And it's very similar to, if you remember my first year here when we were going through that audit from actually Mr. Franco's last year, and everything was in the personnel file and I never asked for it. Well, you know, if you were not going to provide personal information to an auditor if they're not asking for it. Mm-hmm. So when we have that information, all they have to do is ask, do you have the evaluation? Do you have the I-9? Do you have the, yep, it's all right here. It's all checked off. We have everything checked off. We check it off every year. You know, but when they didn't ask for that, obviously it wasn't given to them. Similar to there were plenty of things that as I'm going through and rewriting and answering these questions in the CAP, the corrective action plan, there were things that we had, and they just didn't ask for it, and then added it. I mean, it wasn't anything like when they did their exit interview. The guy said, well, there's, you know, four or five bigger things, and there's another three to five things. He figured, you know, 8, 9, maybe 10 things. And he comes back with 59.
They had to come up with more maybe when they got back to the office.
I don't know. But the problem is this is the same. They sent a young guy and two other guys with him. They spent a grand total of maybe 3 hours in our building. Wow. They drove down, got here at 11:30, went out to eat lunch, came back at about 12:45, were in the office for about an hour, hour and a half, left, showed up the next morning, and then they went home.
I think that is something maybe you should relay.
I already told that to Bill, but before, otherwise we would not have brought him back this year.
Well, and people might not know that this is like a little mini vacation or something.
Well, and then the way they do audits now, because the way they've always done them,
all
wherever
random.
I've been, okay, and I'm not saying Arizona because Arizona is doing it different now. But everything's uploaded, and you have to scan it, and you have to put it in drop boxes. And if you don't do all that right, then they don't get it. So we uploaded some things a couple of times, 2-3 times last year even. You know, so it's not a good system. So when I asked the guy, Bill Dilbridge, who owned the company and then sold it to that bigger company out of California, that the only way we would do business with them is if he came down and did the audit again, and he actually came down and he was here for 2 or 3 days. And so it worked out okay because they do Palominas, and so they're going to come down and do us and Palominas back to back. And we set it up. We said we wanted the earliest date, and he said, we're going to come down and do you and Palominas second week or first week of February?
Second
week of February. That's the earliest we could get set up. And see, that's the problem, because they're going to come and they're going to audit everything we did before June 30th. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's been 6 months, 7 months, 8 months, another 2 months until you get your report back. Mm-hmm. So for 10 months, you haven't changed because you don't know what you're doing wrong because they don't do it early enough. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do an audit and have it done in October is to do it's a really deep dive into everything, and you have to pay twice the amount, and
really?
Small schools don't need that. Mm-hmm. So you got a choice of paying them $50,000 to come in and do the audit and have it done sooner, or wait until February or March, and then they come off to the schools.
But it's really inferior, you know, what they do. I thought that when I first found out how they were actually doing it, I was shocked, because I thought they were going to be more consistent with their method, and it's literally just random, you know.
It's all random on dates, on companies, on how many different things they pull from each company, you know, all the different types of transactions.
And they don't know anybody, so they don't really have any favoritism. But on the other end, you know, they interviewed me every year as president. Do you know of any mishandling of money or embezzlement and blah, 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 which I had already experienced at that point. And then all of a sudden they stopped doing it whenever they should have.
This young guy, the other year.
Or no, I reported something and they never even asked about it.
Yeah, he wouldn't have even done an exit interview with me, but I told him I wanted an exit interview.
Which is literally as he was leaving.
You know, I kind of look at you and it's like, no, I want an exit interview. I want to know what's going on. I said, how are we supposed to, you know, if there's something we need to correct, let's start correcting it now. Don't wait 2 more months. You know, and he sat down and it was like, and Donna came in and sat down and he just, you know, there were a couple of things, and you know, mainly that making sure you have the correct documentation on things and all that. But then when it came back, it was just,
so he was just really vague about it.
He was. And so I was frustrated, and I think part of it was he was young, and now he's out trying to start his own company and compete with everybody. So, but for me, the only thing is I was very lucky early on when I was superintendent. I had really good companies. They came in, they did their audit, and then part of the contract we made them sign was they came and presented to the board. It's just...
And do you remember how much you paid for that type of service back then?
A lot less than we pay here.
Really?
A lot less.
Wow.
I was paying $8,000 to $10,000 in Minnesota. I think we paid between $12,000 and $15,000 over the years that I was there.
And they're just a local in that state.
Yeah, I know about it, Minneapolis, which was a 4-hour drive. So there were one year we had bad weather, and we were getting our audit review in December. And we did it on a big screen TV over like a Zoom thing.
Really?
But, I mean, and that's okay. I just, for me, the whole thing is it kind of holds them accountable and it gives us updated information and we don't have to wait for 2 months more.
It is. So, it's excruciating.
Anyway, so that's, because the idea of the audit is, A, to make sure there's nothing illegal going on, mm-hmm. of course, but to make sure then you improve and you are doing everything correctly. And by waiting all that time, it's just like, well, another year shot.
It's hopeless at that point to rectify it.
If you don't know what to correct, you can't correct it now until, you know, the summer, and then you've already lost a year, and you're going to have all those same findings again next year.
And starting all over the next year.
So.
Crazy.
All right. Let's move on to D. Approve Joanne Reichel.
Joan Reichel.
Reichel.
Yep.
Joan Reichel. As a volunteer reader for our school, and Linda Mott, volunteer with Kitchen.
And Joan has been every year that I've been here, but I just always bring it back every year, 1 year after I approve them, mm-hmm. or have you guys approve them. I bring them back. I think it's just you guys should know who comes in. Joan comes in, generally reads to the kindergarten. I don't know if she got in the first grade or not, but I know she comes to kindergarten, and she usually brings them some books and things. Mm-hmm. She also comes to our kindergarten roundup and has a bunch of books for the families to take with them for reading and working on letters and things. Mm-hmm. And then Linda Mott is volunteering for Sally whenever, off and on, when Sally needs some help.
So what are our requirements for volunteers now? Do they have to just, how do you know?
Be board approved. They'd be
approved. I know, but they don't have to do anything other than you see them and you meet them and then they're good to go.
Right. And then
because somebody asked me that about that, and I was kind of wishing, I didn't know if we had something reason.
No, all we do is we have board approval, and then the only thing is the volunteers don't work one-on-one with kids or separately.
And Joan Reichel, she's very proactive with giving away books and
she
stuff like that.
The
and she's also one of people in my world, the dance world, so I know her from there, too. So.
Talking about reading, a couple of years ago, the board members came down to school to read for the kids.
I love to read month in February.
Yeah.
Is it last year?
We haven't. We didn't do it.
Oh, that was a couple years ago.
Since COVID. That COVID year was the 1 year we did it, and then we haven't done it since. So, actually, we have a meeting that I've got a few different things to go through with staff. One of the things I wanted to see is because that year we had done we had a book fair and we had books to give away and all the kids got a free book, you know, and so I've done that in the past where I was able to give all the kids a free book, and right now we don't have that, but I think we can still do something with the I Love to Read Month. It's during the Azella testing, so you have to, you know, like we used to do a stop, drop, and read, so wherever you were, you carried your book all the time. If you were in the hallway, and it was announced, you sat down and your class sat there and read. Mm-hmm. And then for half an hour, they did whatever they laid in the hallway or in their classroom and they just read. Mm-hmm. So, and we picked different times during the day, so we were always hitting somebody different and stayed away from the lunch hours, of course. So, mm-hmm. But, so we'll see. I am bringing that up to the staff to see if they want to do that this year. Mm-hmm. I would like to see if we couldn't get like a reader in at least once a week for that whole month. Mm-hmm. So, if you guys are interested, you certainly.
Well, somebody asked me about it, but it's just kind of, I don't know. He's asked me so many times, I just had kind of a weird vibe about it, you know?
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Have you ever done, because like last year when I was teaching fifth grade,
I had some good readers and some kids that were willing to sit with good readers and share books with kindergartners. Huh? Buddy reading.
Yeah, we do that. We do that in a lot of classrooms, but it's just for the teachers to set it up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's done in the classroom, though.
I do it now.
Yeah.
You do it now with who?
With.
Well, that is exciting, though, to do that, because people love to read. It really, if kids are struggling, you don't enjoy it, and you want them to really enjoy it and love it.
Third, fourth, and fifth graders, you know, then to be able to work with the K-1 and 2, it's nice. It's, you know, so, like, especially, I think, third grade would be great to work with the kinders.
I think that I have, like, a handful of kids in each group that would really benefit from reading, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
They read with, they read alone.
So I would say.
But reading two, sharing a book.
Yeah, hit up Rhodes and ask her.
Ask her if that's something she wanted to do.
I think she would. I know she's done it before. Something like that. I just don't know if it was with third grade or what grade. But.
Well, here's the other thing. Maybe we don't want to talk about this right now. This is about schedule.
Okay, we'll work on it later. Yeah. But I would like to get a. We always did a reader, and then we had like three grades go to the library at one time, you know, and then sit around and listen to the reader, and then answer questions, you know, and we always had a mystery reader, so we never told them who it was. So, you know, whoever it was, you had to sit down, and, you know, one time we had the homecoming king come in and read to the kids, you know, and whatever, and, you know, they all have to ask, like, you know, do you have a girlfriend, and do you drive and all those things.
Really?
Have you scored a basket in the game? Things
how
like
funny.
That, you know? So, I mean, they, when you go, we always try to do that because then the kids get a chance after you read and talk. And we always let everybody pick their own book. You know, so I was a mystery reader, I did the little engine that could, you know. Mm-hmm. I think I can.
Did you do the whole thing?
I did. Well, you got to remember, I was back in my home school.
Right.
And half of our population was off the reservation.
Right.
Dirt poor, 90% of our kids. And my class had doctors and vets and everything else come out of it. So my whole thought behind that was, they just need to keep hearing.
Right.
I can do it if I try. Things will get tough, but I can do it. So that's why I picked that book. And that's why I told kids. I said, well, I've got a friend who, you know, one of my best friends who's a veterinarian that has three vet hospitals. And then we talked about what's a vet hospital, what's a veterinarian. And then I had a guy who worked out in Silicon Valley, you know, and made way too much money and already is retired and living a high life. But anyway, he sends me pictures from Italy and Hawaii when he's gone, so... but, you know, we talked about all those people. I said, they all graduated from here. They all came. They all came to Reamer. They graduated from here. The year I graduated, we built the elementary. And so they were, you know, we were talking about, I'm sitting in an area that was under construction when I graduated from high school. And so they thought that was all cool. And, but,
really?
I mean, so I think that it's a fun thing. So I think that would be something we could do, but I do think that getting kids involved reading to each other is even better. Because the kids that are reading gain confidence. Kids that are listening get to look up to somebody that's reading to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of a win-win.
E. Approve Enrique Martin's resignation as of January 19th.
And that letter I included for you. Very, very nice young man, a hard worker. And he got a job at the DOC in Douglas.
At where?
The prison department.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yep.
He seems pretty saddened, though, to leave us, so that's nice.
Yeah, he is, and he, I think,
so he's really happy.
Me, but headed down the road towards marriage, so he's trying to, you know.
Well, we wish Enrique the best life ever.
And we thank him for his service.
Good guy.
Yeah.
He's a really good guy. Now I know.
He wants to get into law enforcement?
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, so let's see, what do we have next? No bids were received.
F, no bids were received for any of the school vehicles, so we will be leaving the vehicles as it is until further decision is made.
Okay.
anybody, if anybody wants to buy one, you know, let me know. We had a couple of calls, but nobody wanted to put a bid in, so we have that sitting there. I would say when we get to the spring and we have a little better idea of where everything is, because we've talked about purchasing a good school vehicle, get one vehicle, and then probably get rid of at least two of them, if not all three.
Leave it as it is. It's tax season.
I just have to be really short runs because I'm really nervous about putting them out too terribly far in the road. But yeah.
I used one the summer that I got here. When you first got it. It was like a gift, truly a gift. And you must have been a part of that, saying that I could do that. I was worried because I got here from the United Arab Emirates. And I didn't have a place to live, and I didn't have a car, and I had a job, but nobody even expected me to show up. So it was sort of like, oh, you're here. Have a car. I had borrowed a car for 2 weeks until I bought one, and Ms. Elias found me a place to live quick.
And it helps
then
having a few.
Sally jumped in and got me a house, and I'm like, like, there was nothing better than what's done for me when I got here.
It's nice to have
coming
them,
up. What am I doing wrong? Oh, thanks. Turn it off. My neighbor called, so it kind of scared me.
Oh, okay.
Because we had so many things happening. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
See, moving on.
So what are we going to do, park out in front, leave the keys in them, or what?
No. They'll be gone by next week. Yeah. No, we'll leave them locked up back there. The Corolla's really good to use right now.
Could you post it in the post office?
I didn't. We
there's a lot of people come and go from
there. We put it in the paper, and we put it on the website and on Facebook, but I because if we do it, we have to make sure we do it more as an auction and not as just because it's just cleaner for the auditor in the state. Right. So it works to trade it in and use that as a down payment on a vehicle too. So I still think if we were able to take two or three of those vehicles and get about $5,000 or $6,000 for them and then take that off the price of a new vehicle, find a like a 5-passenger car. Mm-hmm.
If they took all three of them, that'd be really great.
Yeah, well, we have there is a place in it's the West Side, Buckeye, I think it is, that's on the state bid, and they have told us they would take all of our vehicles in trade. They wouldn't give us a set price until we got them up there. So I totally understand it, but it makes it, you got to get them all up there.
Well, you did try.
All right, let's see here. G, approved the disposal of unrepairable control panel for the bleacher system we have in place.
It's an electric panel underneath for the electric bleachers that doesn't work. And just to
I didn't think they worked.
No, to get rid of it, we need to just say it's okay. And right now we actually have the electrician in town is working on a board, and he thinks he'll have it done by the end of this week so that we're able to use those. And on the side, we're working with SFB, trying to get companies down to give us bids for a new set of bleachers. We need something that works until we get that.
You know, and I hate to tell you this, but the wooden bleachers we had when my girls went to school there, they were great. And then I think Ward was the one that did that.
Yeah.
And then whenever they pulled them out the first time, they came way out into the basketball court. I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, if you get the wooden ones, too, I mean, they maybe have changed, but the wooden ones, if you lift, then it pulls the brake off and it leaves the rollers down, and then you can pull out a section or two at a time.
Yeah, ours were, there's nothing wrong with them.
And,
people just thought we should modernize
them. It's just, it takes a little physical work. Well, it's still...
When ours are old, so they're really broken in, so you didn't have to go through that whole thing, you know?
Yeah, it took two or three of us to get the bleachers in and out anyway. So what's the difference if there's three of us down there lifting and pulling?
That's true.
A little PT for some of the eighth graders.
Yeah. Well, and the thing, too, is, you got to get the same seating, which I don't want to lose seating, because when we have our big events, we need that much seating.
Right.
But for games, you're going to have bleachers that aren't going to come out all the way, which we already have.
Right.
And that's okay. But I just, what I've asked her to do is look at the wooden ones. And it's crazy, but the wooden ones are more expensive.
Oh, I bet. They're probably more durable, though.
Oh, sure. I know.
And we gave ours to Sonora.
But the wooden ones aren't electric. But the plastic ones are electric. And they're cheaper. How?
That is weird.
I just don't understand it. So, anyway, you know, what we're going to hopefully this at the end of the week, which it's already almost the end of the week, hopefully we'll be able to get Mr. Selvig's thing plugged in, and it will work, and we'll be able to pull the bleachers in.
Okay.
Because right now when we do it, it takes, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I spent one whole
really?
Day.
Really? Like,
Christmas.
How many people do you have to get?
I spent one whole day down there at Christmas with Paco and Ramon and Enrique and Victor, and we were using come-alongs.
Right.
And, I mean, heavy-duty come-alongs to get them all pulled in. And it was...
Oh, maybe we need to get a
dog. It was a five-hour job.
Wow, that's horrible.
Bring them in from the Christmas program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's crazy.
You just discovered this after the Christmas program?
No, we knew it was broke this summer. We've been trying to get somebody to come in and fix it, and we've had different people come, kind of like the door that's been out of commission since June. And so down here, unfortunately, we've had four different locksmiths come in, and none of them can fix the door, so now we've got that to replace the door. And it's been in the works with SFB.
Nice.
But it's still not completed all the hoops yet, I guess. So
that completes our consent agenda.
There you go.
You want to make a motion?
Sure.
I'd like to make a motion to approve items A through G on the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Aye.
All right, moving on to action items, presentation, discussion, and possible vote to increase the mileage reimbursement to 62.5 cents per mile, and per diem for hotels will increase 4%, and meals and incidental rates were increased to $10 less than the federal rates with the recommendation of the state of Arizona.
Okay,
so what is
the... Here is, and I know, I wish I could give you the... This is from ASBO is where it came. ASBO is the business managers from the state. And so that's what has been that they're approving and the state's approving. We just don't have a sheet that has all of the costs or fees or whatever that are approved sent from the state yet. The gentleman who sent this, Mr. Essex, thought we'd have one. By this week, but we don't yet. But I haven't seen it come through.
Okay.
So that's why I told Donna. I said, so I'm going to say it's a 4% raise over what? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to say it's $10 less than the federal rate. But what's the federal rate? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I didn't look up the federal rate because I thought we'd get the state listing, but we don't have it. But this would be when we send people to conferences,
trainings and
whatever. Yeah.
But this is recommended by the state anyway.
This is you guys have always done whatever they.
We
state
typically do, unless there's somebody doesn't sue us.
Okay. I thought, we're a school in the Phoenix or Tucson area where we have staff members going TDY all the time.
Well, it's pretty bad. We had that one superintendent who said, well, would you rather go to L.A. Or would you rather go to Phoenix?
Well, but the problem that we have is if we were in the Phoenix area, you have the ability to go to hundreds of trainings. Mm-hmm. But when you live in Naco, mm-hmm. to go to a training, you have to go to one of those hundreds of trainings mm-hmm. in Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Or if we get lucky, Tucson. Or, so, I mean, that, we don't have a lot. We have the Hope, it was the Hope training, but is it now the Hope training? And it was something else. I can't remember. I can't keep up. The ELL teacher training in Tucson, and that's close for us. We've sent people to that each year. We use our Title III funding for that. And we rotate who goes. And generally speaking, the school pays for the hotel rooms, and we have one person drive. And most of the time, most of the meals are covered. There'll maybe be one evening meal or whatever, and then it's like $15-$20. So I don't know what the federal rate is.
So that's why the ice cream is free, according to Brisa?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
where they
everything's free when Brisa goes to a conference, yeah. she does not pass up the desserts. But, a lot of times they have some of the meals included. You know, like for the school board meetings and things, a lot of times they have the meals, the lunch and the breakfast, and then you're on your own for supper. At the teacher ones, the suppers, I think there was one of them that was covered.
Not
you didn't have any this year?
No, just breakfast and
okay.
lunch, but they were spectacular.
The year before, they had one of the suppers was covered, I think, or we paid for a supper and they had a speaker, I don't remember. But so it really depends on when you go and who you go, and it's been a difference since COVID has gone through or is going through.
It's changed a lot of things, hasn't it?
So, yeah, it has. So, I mean, to my knowledge, when I asked Donna and we tried to look, it seemed like whenever there was a change from the state that the school has gone with it, so that's why I brought it. I would bring you the exact amounts. As soon as we get that sheet, I'll probably email it to you too so that you have it sooner.
Okay. Very good. We'll go ahead and vote on then, and you can update us when we get that information.
Is all of that what we just read in A pertaining to what they just did in Tucson? They went to Tucson to
It starts January 1, so but
oh,
yes,
so
it
anything
would be.
Coming up
it
after
would
that.
Be, yes, it would
if
be,
you
yes.
supported our going to something, say in Phoenix,
right.
you
yep.
give us this amount, and
that's
that
what
amount.
It. Yeah, yeah,
okay.
And that's why we limit. Like we have one person drive if two or three people are going instead. I mean, if we have six
January
people
first.
Going, we usually have two people drive. Mm-hmm. Try to rotate since we don't have a great school vehicle right now. I mean, we have a Corolla. It's okay.
But what about the time off? Do you have to take a personal day?
No, most of the time the personal days are the professional days for professional conferences are included. And so you fill out a sheet, but it's professional leave.
Okay, so it doesn't have anything to do with
it's
personal
not,
time?
No, not
personal
or sick leave. Right. Yep.
I'll make a motion to approve the guidelines set forth by ASBO for the reimbursement of mileage, per diem of hotels, and meals.
I'll second.
I'm waiting for a tie vote here, just so you know. We haven't had that for a while.
All right, here. Action item B, presentation, discussion, and vote on approving the new intergovernmental agreement, cooperative agreement with MICPA.
Yeah. Totally new to us. It's with the company Converge One, with that COPS grant that's the company that we're using with the COPS grant. Mm-hmm. And so by doing and approving this, it helps lower our costs with Converge One. So we get the state rate instead of whatever they bid. And so it's a lower rate.
I think we had already discussed that anyway.
Yeah, and we are already members of two or three IGAs?
Three.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this would be our fourth. And all they basically do is make it so that if you have something and you need it done and you find someone that's got a state bid on any one of those four agreements, you don't have to go out and get X number of bids. You can go with that company as long as, you know, that's the company you want to work with and the price that you're going to get from them is as good as anybody's going to give you.
Nice. Okay.
Ready? I have a question, and I'm sorry, but I'm really done with this stuff. Acronyms is my worst thing. What they did to me in New Mexico with acronyms blew my mind.
IGA is Intergovernmental Agreement.
What is it about?
It's just a purchasing. It gives us purchasing power. Otherwise, every time you want to buy a box of pencils, it's got to be more than that. But I'm just asking Tim. We would have to go out and get prices from three companies to purchase those pencils. Right now, all we do is we find a company that has that, say, that box of pencils that you want, and we can buy it from them. And we don't have to go through the hoops of documenting three different companies, asking for the bids, getting the bids, all that. So it makes purchasing easier.
Okay. So that kind of limits us from having to go to three different options to one option.
Right. It makes it easier. So when you guys put in At the end of the year, you put in for what you want, then what we want to do is like combine everything so we can make one bigger order, and then we go to one of these purchasing companies that we have a better price from, and that's who we'll buy from.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I got you guys first and second. Did you guys vote? Or
no. There's no motion on the table.
Oh.
I'm going to make a motion. To adopt item B pertaining to the intergovernmental cooperative purchasing agreement.
I'll second.
Aye.
I had it backwards. Keep
him on his toes. All right. Action item C, presentation discussion and of the first reading of policy advisory number 1 of 2023, number 739 to 743.
And really, there's only one policy. The rest are all exhibits, little forms and things, okay? So in here, as we always do the first time, you just get the packet, and then you look through it. I would like you to look at that policy. Mm-hmm. I would recommend when we vote on it next time that we follow this, because this has to do with foster children, and it's a... It's kind of a hot topic right now.
Yeah, I've been getting emails about that.
Yeah. So my recommendation would be we follow it, but I would like you guys to make sure you read it. The exhibits are less important because exhibits are things we can use, but we don't have to use. So it's nice to approve them and have them, but it doesn't bind us to having to use it. But the policy JFABDA-R. It's the admission of the foster care kids. And there are certain hoops now.
Is R in here?
Does it talk about Byron's legal guardians?
No, the foster care part of it, what they've done is they've scratched a few lines that were probably unnecessary. And because I would venture to guess... Those lines, yes. Because those lines cause problems for some families and some students, they took it out. Really, the biggest one they took out was when the very first line where they said children in foster care are not stigmatized or segregated on the basis of their status as foster children. And just by putting that in there, it implies that they probably are somewhere.
That is pretty screwed.
So they took it away, and then they just moved things around. It's not, there's not a lot, but it is a hot button topic right now, making sure you have the right, you know, guardianship stuff. And, you know, there have been cases in Arizona and in other states where, you know, one parent has taken off, or somebody's given children to somebody else so that they don't go to a certain spouse or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just make, you know.
I'm sure you probably deal with that at the border, because a lot of, if you cross the border, they usually will ask you to prove that those are your kids whenever my kids were growing up. Because a lot of kids are being abducted out of Mexico and sold.
I don't know. I think it's... It's good. It's solid. Good recommendation and advice. Yeah.
Right. Unfortunately, huh?
So,
this one, so we can table it so that we can read it.
It's the first reading.
It's the first reading, so it's basically tabled until the next time.
So we're good.
Whenever we say first reading, we don't even have to vote on the tabling, because then it'll automatically kicks into the second time. Okay.
So we can move on to D?
We can.
All right. See here. D is presentation, discussion, and possible closed session dealing with the superintendent evaluation. And... for that, I would like to make a motion to table this item because our other board member, Brisa, is not present. She would like to be present so she can be a part of the evaluation.
And I would advise that too, and I'd like to second.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. And then we added...
E.
E.
This is the two presentation discussion... And possible votes on approving the intergovernmental agreement with the Cochise County Sheriff's Office and Cochise County for the school resource officer position.
Right. And believe it or not, the county has already approved. They're usually 3 months behind. So the importance of doing it now and the reason that I added it, and I told Donna today when I told her, can't believe I forgot that because that's the one thing I wanted to make sure we did, is because it's competitive. It's always been competitive, but there was always a, as you get it in and where you are financially, how you're rated. Well, now the financially how you're rated doesn't matter. If you've had an SRO, it's open right now until they run out of the funds. And then it also then opens up other slots for schools who do not have an SRO right now. And so they're going to take on some new schools, and there are so many schools that are going to get their SROs. And if you remember the first time we applied, we were turned down, and schools like Mesa got 16, and you know, and nobody in our county got anybody. And we didn't get somebody until the state superintendent of schools came down and saw our Martin Luther King, you know, all of our little first graders saying, I have a dream that someday there won't be guns and there won't be drugs and we'll be all safe. And when 31 kids are basically making the same poster, that really wore on her. And when she went back, one of the first things that she did was she worked on getting, we got that ESSER money when she first got that. And that's how we were able to get Bobby in for the last 2 years. You know, I've talked with her before at the meetings, and now, of course, I won't see her, but she said that when she came down to our school, it had a huge impact on her. And she realized how important it was that we get more money into that. So when they got billions of dollars, that was where she put some of that money. So it's important that we get it in. And they told me they're sure by March, beginning of March, that they're going to be out of slots for sure. So, and I'm sure they're telling everybody else, so everybody else is trying to hurry to get it done too. So,
and as far as the deputy, you'll still be Deputy Zavala?
As of right now, they have no other deputies on a reserve. So it has to be either a reserve deputy with the sheriff's department, or it has to be a policeman, basically from Bisbee Police Force. Mm-hmm. And Bisbee doesn't have anybody, and the sheriff's office doesn't. Bobby's interested in staying with it, and it's been a good match. I think he's built some pretty good relationships with a lot of the kids. But the biggest thing for me right now would be we'd get the SRO, and then we would talk with the sheriff's department. But I don't see there's going to be anybody else that would do it. So. That's my understanding, is that we would still have the same person.
He's from here, so he's right. Invested in
and
our community.
You know, honestly, he can have some of those conversations with kids about making good decisions, and he's lived down here, so he kind of knows some of that stuff.
I remember the first couple of years of you being a superintendent, you were always talking about disciplinary problems, and I haven't heard.
It's been a lot better. Every year when you start out, you have certain things happen. But when you have another person that can help you, mm-hmm.
That one that Bobby was here, I think that was good thing he was here, because that one boy, you know, that was quite the
We've had a couple of times where it was very, very good that he was here. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had an incident where we had a couple of girls really bloody it up on the way to school one morning. That's probably the easiest way to say it. You know, the other thing that we're limited by the state of what we can do. And so, like, our employees are able to go on this street basically to the corner, and we can go towards Bisbee, mm-hmm. north, northwest and northeast, and, you know, but not south. And so Bobby, because he is a county employee, mm-hmm. is able to be wherever. So, like, when we catch wind of anything, or he'll just be sometimes up by the gay 90s and along the street there, making sure that there's nothing going on. Because that, honestly, is where we probably hear most of the things that happen, is either once kids are, if they're crossing back and forth or whatever, there, or kids right on that straightaway. Stuff happens.
Well, and you think about, you know, like the one thing, like the people in gay 90s hear this things banging on the roof, and they go out there, and there's bales of pot laying all over the ground. I mean, where else is that?
I heard that story and then the first year I was here.
And then here's the Federale's offices right there. You can see it, you know, and they're like catapulting it for your roof, you know.
I've noticed, too, a change in the relationship between kids and law enforcement. Yesterday, when I was working, I had a couple kids came over to me and gave me a nice little fist bump and told me, "Hey, Mister," and started having a conversation with me. I was like,
"Yeah." Well, you know, the thing too, I think you guys know, but I mean, for me, the first year when I was here and I had the guys come in and talked about some of the different law enforcement things. And as soon as some of our kids are walking in the door, they're, you know, gringo and all this other crap. And, you know, I mean, we had some little kids that wanted to act like tough punks or whatever. But I really think that was the big push for me, was get somebody on here that could relate to kids and would help change that idea that the police are our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that's turned. I really do.
It does help a lot.
It's mm-hmm. It's made a difference.
And Bobby's always kind of been like that.
When Bobby teaches, is he teaching civics?
Well, it depends on what. This semester he's working, he's going to be in the elementary rooms. Last semester he worked with the middle school kids. So he's going in. A lot of times he'll talk to, like one of the things that he's covering right now is with lockdowns, mm-hmm. procedures and things. Okay, and then another thing he will talk about is he'll go in and talk with kids about decision making. And, you know, one of the things we did with the middle school kids as part of the LRE, law related education, is, so you don't have to guess on the acronym, was goal setting. And I never thought goal setting was part of LRE. To me, goal setting was just something, you know, you learned and you picked up. And so, I mean, there are a lot of things that are included in LRE education that he can go to the difference. And so that's really the plan for the second semester, mm-hmm. is to share it in that way. And so far, I mean, we're supposed to put 180 hours in the classrooms, and so far he's at almost 170 hours, and we're just halfway through the school year. Mm-hmm. Last year we ended up with about 250 hours, and we're supposed to have 180.
Really?
So it was mm-hmm. it was very good.
With Bobby?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you know, Bobby, whenever we had our new turf gym here in town, he was really instrumental with our program. And then one of our young bodybuilders that went to school with my girls killed himself.
Oh.
And Bobby came to that balloon release every year for years and years.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, it's really been I don't know the right term. You know, I hate to say good marriage or whatever, but I think it's really been a good blend for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's kind of got the personality and the energy with kids, and I think that's helped. So I'm glad you noticed that.
He was really good with the fifth graders last year, teaching them the flag. And
mm-hmm. Last year we did the fifth grade, and we rotated who put the flags up and took them down, and then they would go out and they would do the pledge, and they learned how to fold the flag correctly
good.
And all that.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, a constitution class.
There you go.
I'll make a motion to approve the intergovernmental agreement with CCSO and Cochise County for the SRO.
I'll second. Aye.
Aye.
All right. I just have a couple of things that I want to mention. In the superintendent report, one of the things I gave you guys, one of the Spirit Week things, we're, you know, trying to have a little bit of fun, get the kids excited about testing, talk about the importance of doing our best all the time, which we do fairly regular anyway. You know, so we're going to try something a little different approach, and start that on Friday. I have a little, like, pep fest, and then we've got a whole bunch of stuff. We'll
pep fest.
I know, pep fest for academics is kind of different. And then we'll introduce all the kids that have played on the middle school teams and stuff. We did that last year, and, you know, and stuff. So the second thing one of the things I'll be bringing to look at and have been doing some research on, and actually worked all weekend last weekend on, was looking into that four-day work week and what it would do to our ADMs, our Friday attendances. I don't know.
Not good.
A word that goes with horrible, I guess.
Well, you know, Bisbee and does that. Have you talked to them?
I know they do. Yeah, yeah. Well, I've talked with
them. They said it's going to save a lot of money, which it
didn't. Well, yeah, no, it's not going to save money. It doesn't save money because you're extending each day during the week an hour and a half, an hour to an hour and a half. Mm-hmm. And so you're paying all of the hourly out during that time that they would have made on Friday for the most part. We're not a high school. So if you were in, you know, say you were in Minnesota where you really had a winter, okay, where it was actually cold.
This is cold then.
I know, some of us, I think it's cold. But if you were in Minnesota where it's 30 degrees below zero for a month or month and a half, okay, if you don't have to have the heat above 55 for three straight days, there's a chance to save some money. For us, our school bus route, not running the bus route one time, one day, saves us 50 miles. So, you know, it's not much. But if you had 10 buses going out or more, you would save more money there, okay? There are different things to look at with it. There are things that I'll bring to the teachers because when I brought it up last year, there was only one teacher that was kind of in favor of it, simply because I think they've heard from me, the more we get the kids here, the more they speak English and hear English, the better they're going to do. Okay, well then that's great, and if you actually got all the kids here for 5 days a week, it would be wonderful. But you have to be realistic also, and when you are seeing half the kindergarten class gone, sometimes half the first grade class gone, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, quarter of your, you know, junior high to a third of your junior high gone, mm-hmm. on a Friday, and it's almost every Friday, and it doesn't have to be, if it's rainy, well, the percentages go way up. And so it kills our ADMs, mm-hmm. and that's average daily membership. And it's how we get paid, okay? It's how we get paid and how we make money or bring money in. And so if we have a higher ADM, we make more money from the state. And so what would hurt really bad is if we went to a 4-day week, but our attendance never got any better.
Right.
The percentages Monday through Thursday.
Well, wait, what is our attendance? Oh, you're talking about attendance, not our population per se.
Right. Average daily membership means how many of them actually show up each day. Mm-hmm.
Well, and here's the thing, is that when Bisbee went to the 4-day week, it was sold to everybody that it was going to be save all this money, which it didn't. But I do have to say that one of the biggest concerns were the parents that worked, you know, that there was nobody at home. I think that probably affects us less because our kids, most of them go across the line anyway. And part of our population problem is when they go for Christmas or holidays or summers, they go way down like to Sinaloa or something, and so they're gone longer. So a lot of them don't make it back in time for school, or they come back late from holidays. And so I think probably we're probably more beneficial to us than with Bisbee, personally. What do you think?
And this year with the longer Christmas break, we really didn't see, I think we saw kids ducking out a day earlier or whatever, but we didn't see it on the way back. We had most of our kids, for the most part,
a lot of kids, you don't want coming home in the empty house, you know.
Let me start off with, I believe I brought this topic up, you know, a couple meetings before.
Yeah, you brought it up. I think last year.
Because you would like the idea?
Yeah, because I think that that if we mirror kind of what Bisbee does, a lot of families here would be in favor of that, because families here have, like my family, for example, I have one kid in Bisbee High School, right, and then my other kids are over here in Naka School, right?
Yeah.
It's just probably that's also a lot of people.
Also, I've noticed too that kids from Bisbee School District, they go to Greenway and go to Lowell, you know, have the same schedule, right? They're as Bisbee High School, right? So I think that if we go to a Monday through Thursday schedule, it will maybe, hopefully, attract more kids to come to an after school.
We may have less kids open enroll out of the
What is our number now? Three?
I know that I don't if Donna's gotten a set number from them. Until we get our numbers that show us the breakdown of the dollars, we don't usually have a number from them. But I know that we have, I'd say a rough estimate, we probably have 50 to 70 kids that are considered open enrollment that leave and go up there to elementary and middle school.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what's our total population?
How many do we have in school now? 280, I want to say 284.
Oh, okay.
Last year, wasn't it 400?
No. Last year, at one point, we actually got over 300. The high point since I've been here in 4 years was 313 or 314.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and COVID kind of, a lot of people shuffled.
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, when you have an eighth grade, you have a big eighth grade, and then you bring in a small kindergarten to replace that big eighth grade, you know, I mean, we don't get enough transfers. And our other problem is we have a very high transient population.
Right.
And so we can get credit for students as long as they're here before October 1st.
Well, I told
but
you,
those students that roll in January and February, they don't get anything.
We were always checking in people for months in kindergarten. But when my daughter Shane started kindergarten, there were 40 kids in that class.
Well, that and first only year two I came spoke to English. 42. And of the 42, three
class?
Spoke
mm-hmm.
And
three
two
spoke
English. English. My daughter and one other girl.
Yeah.
I
think what's going on is a lot of kids are going to
here.
To Greenway.
Well, kids went all through school here.
To match up.
To match up.
Yeah.
And I hate to say this, but there's parents that get legal guardianship in Bisbee school districts just for that reason.
Yeah. No,
to go to school in Bisbee?
To go to school in Bisbee, yeah.
Don't they have open enrollment?
They do, but you're guaranteed to get in if you have
a legal guardian within the district.
In that district, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's weird. So this is like a popular
thing. Oh, it's I'm telling you.
Can I ask about the voucher to Bisbee School? Is that the same thing as open enrollment, somebody coming from Naco and going to Bisbee?
Open enrollment.
There's no voucher. The voucher, when we talk about when we pay, that's for the high school kids. And it's not really, when you talk about a voucher that they're talking about in the news now about like for
it's
private schools,
that.
It's
no.
not
it's
that.
A purchase
what
voucher.
What we do is there's a bill that Bisbee sends to the state. The state sends us the money for educating those kids, and then we turn around and pay Bisbee. So it's what we legally would call flow-through money, but we have to put it on a voucher.
So now tell her how much do people pay the Delta tuition. About.
Well, tuition's gotten better.
Well, I mean, the numbers of people. I mean, we had, like, one woman had 25 kids that had...
Before I got here.
Right.
Yeah,
but they're from Sonora, so they get a guardian over here.
Yeah.
And so that's... But they go in front of one judge, and that's how they get guardianship.
One woman had 25...
She did. She doesn't anymore. That was ages ago.
We may not.
Oh.
Yeah, so the...
Yeah, we won't talk about that.
I just want to make it clear that the students that come to Naco School are citizens of the district. Okay, so they, as far as we're concerned, they reside within Naco, Arizona.
Yeah.
Why are we saying that, though?
Because it's being recorded, and if you listen to everything, and if you want to...
But it's the truth.
Well,
no, there's the truth, and there's a jail, and there's a fine.
Okay, all right.
About this Monday to Thursday thing, I think, you know, the teachers would like that. You know, the teachers
are
going to get a three-day weekend.
I think there'll be a mix. I think it'll be a mixed bag, because I think when you look at it and you say, okay, we're going to have to make up an hour and a half each day. Now, that means that you're not going to leave until 5 o'clock-ish. There are a lot of people who like to leave at 3:30. So it's a little give to get a whole Friday.
Mm-hmm. It also helps you, right? Because you leave to go to Peoria.
Oh, for me, yeah. But, I mean, honestly, I'd be here Friday mornings anyway because you get a lot done when nobody's in the school.
Isn't it creepy?
Compared to when they're in school. You know, you'll have like a first grade teacher will just show up and say, hey, I just needed to check in and make sure everything was okay. And, you know, but I mean, you know, you do. You really do. On a day when I'm here and it's just, say, Donna and I and maybe Kristen, we can get a lot done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good.
Because there are no interruptions. Mm-hmm. So, and it's not that we don't, I don't mind when people come in. I would rather if people come in and visit anyway because it breaks up my day. You can get quite a bit done.
Something that I noticed, so this year, the first half of the year, I had a foreign exchange student from Brazil.
Ooh.
Probably heard of her, you approved her coming and volunteering in the school. She lived with me for half a school year. Now, that said, she was going to Bisbee High School, mm-hmm. and I was coming to work at NACO. I have to tell you, wow, what an amazing calendar she had.
Really?
Well, I got to hear a 60-year-old woman still working, plan to work for another 6 or 7 years. I'm sorry, I have to.
You have to.
I love the little school, but, and here on my very first night, I'm going to bust your chops. When it got to be October, and she was on break for a week, and I had to go to school every day, I became wondering, what is it like for parents who half their family goes to NACO and the other half goes to Bisbee, and they're trying to plan a vacation, they're going to take their kids out when the high school has their vacation because it's much more important for them to be in school than it is for
the little
buggers.
So that's when we lose
parents are going to go whenever they want to go.
But that's pretty.
We would schedule spring breaks, mm-hmm. and I would have parents that we would go every other year. 1 year spring break, 1 year no spring break. The year we had a spring break, we would have parents go on vacation for 2 weeks before spring break. Mm-hmm. Then they'd come back for spring break.
Yeah. The practicality, I mean, it does kind of make sense.
That's what made sense to me.
Mm-hmm. But there are, that we would not mirror their calendar completely.
Right. But I think, you know, it makes sense if we kind of did, really.
Well, we do kind of, but what they do is they have a full week for fall break. Then they take Thanksgiving, and then they have their Christmas 2 weeks, and then they take a spring break. And you're doing all these breaks, and then you take your testing, and then you have all the school. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense.
But
why are you going to go? Let me finish, because you're not supposed to talk, but that's okay. Until Memorial Day.
Right.
What are you gaining for those kids for the testing and what you're rated on the state versus getting in school and having the kids in class, then doing your testing, and then you get out of school at an earlier date. So there are different things. I mean, we would not mirror there. I wouldn't recommend it because it's missing too many good, weather's good, it's okay for PE to be outside. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in September and October, and if you're going to take a fall break and take a whole week and send her, you lose momentum.
I understand, but I can say, like, if
I get
it. Don't mirror it, but have a similar schedule so that we can try to avoid the issues of not having a...
we've tried to align spring break, and we've pretty much aligned Christmas break. Even though we're going 5 days a week, we've done that. We try to do it. It makes it easier for people that... those of our employees who have kids and all that, but I think you have to. Yeah. I still think that by taking large chunks off, our kids only go backwards.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just.
But the school is unique in a lot of ways because of our proximity and all of that. You know,
just have a meeting with the teachers and staff members.
I'll meet with the teachers. I'll come and talk to you, and then the next step would be putting a survey together and sending it home to parents.
And then we could probably vote on it if we approve it, give it a shot for 1 year, and see how it goes.
Right. Yeah. Well, and a lot of times it takes 2 years to figure. First year you figure out all the problems. The second year you see how it works, mm-hmm. and then if it doesn't get any better the second year, because you'll find things that you like and don't like.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do something, try it for a couple of years and see. Yeah. So. But anyway.
That concludes your superintendent.
Yeah, report? I have anything else really. Most of the stuff is stuff that'll be coming up, and it's in the grant stuff and all that. So.
Okay. Alrighty.
When would you like to set the next meeting? The next Tuesdays are the 7th and the 14th. 14th is, of course, Valentine's Day, so I'm free, but I mean...
Does your wife know that?
Yeah. I don't foresee her driving down here. She's got her mother to take care of now. Or Wednesday. It doesn't matter as long as we just put it out there. The 7th is late enough. First Tuesday.
You look good for your age. I'm impressed. I'm older than you, but I'm like, wow. Good job.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I want to thank you for supporting, a better, more cooperative calendar with Bisbee, only because I just got to experience it, and if I was a parent experiencing that, I would be very frustrated.
All right.
Thank you.
Makes sense. Well, thank you.
And my body is tired, and I'm talking.
Take care of yourself.
Can I go this way?
I think you go that way, huh?
Yeah, you can go up that way. Yep.
Good night, everybody. See you.
Good night. Thank you.
Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, too.
February, Woods, you said 7th?
The 7th works. If Tuesday works, the 8th is fine.
Let's call it tentative.
Okay.
February 7th.
February 7th, I worked. I can ask for it off. Or the 14th? Doesn't matter to me. You want it on a Tuesday?
Well, the 14th is Valentine's Day.
How's your wife feel about Valentine's Day? You're gone?
Yeah.
It's changes everything, doesn't it? Crack that whip.
I threw that out there. You weren't listening to me.
I know, because I went over his head until he said, well.
I don't like it getting home so late.
Yeah.
That's okay. Whatever.
So, the 7th?
7th?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
7th's looking pretty good right now.
That's the one nice thing about being that far away from my wife is I can't get the doctor.
No choice.
The week.
Well, I was going to say, don't you have an anniversary coming?
I do at the end of January, and it's either the 27th or the 28th.
27th?
I can't remember.
Uh-oh.
Because when we went and we signed the document, they put the wrong date on it.
Oh.
So I know it's the day that's not on the document, but I can't.
We need to tell her the one of the documents locked in your head because you go by the book.
I just tell her happy anniversary a day or two early. Then I don't miss.
I always know when I got married because it was 2 days before after my daughter was born.
See, that's I always tell people if you're going to get married, find somebody.
My middle daughter, by the way, I knew it was a wrong mistake even then.
Find some important date that you'll never forget and get married right by that, and then you'll remember.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't help you, Tim, but you know what? You do have public access. Well, maybe not in Minnesota. Where'd you get married?
In North Dakota, right across.
You could look it up. You might be able to look it up and see what you and you got married, Tim.
I got the document, and I always look at it, and I go, okay, I know it's the other day, and then I'll forget, because I got both of those days etched in my mind, and it's like,
I'd like to move to adjourn.
All right.
What time?
6:30.
No, a second.
Aye.
Aye.